Vabbè, già a distanza.
Ok, io.
If people can get Siddurim, be easy if one has one's own Siddur. The subject which I'm speaking about, which Be'ezus Hashem, I would like to. Thank you. Talking about the subject of reading the Shema. To learn the dinim of reading of the Shema, Siman Samach Aleph, in Shulchan Aruch, Arachayim, one should go through the whole lot. Also, may I refer people to Siman Hay, which talks about, thank you very much, I've got, thank you very much. In Siman Hay, the Shulchan Aruch talks about the name of Hashem, and the kavanos one should have, and one says the three different types. Hashem Adonos, the kavana is always Adon Hakol, Kodesh Baruch Hu's master of everything. The Shem Yud Kei Vov Kei, the kavana is the one should have in mind Adon Hakol Hoya Hove Veyeya, Kodesh Baruch Hu, master of everything, always was, is, and will be. And with the Shem Elokus, the kavana one has is to that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Takif Baal HaYecholes uBaal HaKochos Kolom. Takif is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is completely powerful, all physical power he has. Baal HaYecholes is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has every ability. Baal HaKochos Kolom, and in charge of everything that exists. There's nothing that is around that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can start that he can't stop. Right? Nothing that he has stopped that he can't restart. He's completely in control. And in there as well, if you look in the Mishnah Berurah, I refer you to it, the Vilna Gaon speaks about, especially the Shem of Hashem, we have to have in mind, and we also find the pronunciation of the Shem Hashem, to be careful to say Aleph with the Chatav Patach. Aleph is not Ah, and it's certainly not It's ah. That's what the chatov. Chatov means snatching. So to say the aleph, when we say the shame of Hashem, one should say ah, short. And on the dalet it says a cholom. On the nun, there's a comet followed by a yod. Now, the way I'm going to read the Shema, I'm not telling anybody that the way I pronounce the letters is the correct way. I very much doubt if it is. Because you know as well as I do that a sin, a samach, and a sof are three different letters. We Ashkenazim pronounce them exactly the same way. They are not. The sof, the nearest I've got to the sof is a th. Th. Th sound. Rus was known correctly as Ruth. That is by far. My mother, Olea HaShalom, her name was Ruth. Her Hebrew name was Rochel. But it's interesting that the pronunciation in English, Ruth, is more correct than the way we pronounce in Ashkenazi Hebrew or in Sephardi Hebrew, Rut, Rus. I nevertheless do it the Ashkenazi way. But nevertheless, it's not the correct way. The TH is far more correct in the way of pronouncing a thof. Now, so having got told you that, I'm going to do the letters the normal Ashkenazi way, and equally I am not going to say any vowel in a way that I'm going to be challenged on in the shir. I am happy to discuss any pronunciation of a vowel not on camera. Right? I have no intention of being controversial in public. I do not mind being controversial in private, but not in public. So, Another point about the Shema, let's refer to the din of Ashrei in Mincha. We don't say Shema in Mincha, but the din of Ashrei in Mincha. If you come late, then davening Tefillah B'Tzibur is more important than anything else. So therefore leave out Ashrei. You get to shul, they're already saying Ashrei, they're already saying the Amida. You don't say Ashrei, you say the Amida with them, and afterwards you say Ashrei with Kavona of Limud HaTorah, as Tehillim, but not as the general Tefillah of Ashrei, because the Tefillah of Ashrei can only be said before the Shemona Esrei, not after. But you can say Ashrei as Tehillim any time you like, and Ashrei as Limud HaTorah any time you like. So that's not a problem. So the din is to say the Shemona Esrei. But if you have started Ashrei already, and the Shliach Tzibur is up to the Shemona Esrei, the din is don't stop. You continue saying Ashrei because you started Ashrei. Even though Shemona Esrei is far more important than Ashrei, and yet the din is if you've started, you continue. You will still daven Tefillah B'Tzibur, doesn't matter. The fact that he started before you, the fact that the whole Kehillah started before you, doesn't matter. So if you've started Ashrei, you continue. Lefi Ani Hostati, Kriya Shema is more important than Ashrei. Kriya Shema is Doraisa. How much of it, whether it's the first Shema Baruch Shem, whether it's the first two Psukim, whether it's the whole of the first Parsha, the first two Parshios, different opinions about that. But the principle is that it is Doraisa. If a person, one second, if a person is saying the Shema, now I am not somebody, I tell you a simple idea, it's not a chiddush. When one davens, one should say the words at normal speed. One should certainly not daven fast, and equally there is no need to daven slowly. In other words, if you want to daven slowly, that means deliberately slowly. Deliberately. Let's take Baruch. Baruch. Shame. You want to do that with all the kavanas, with pleasure. But it's not a din that you have to do it. So the din of davening should be done the way you speak to people normally. At the moment I'm not speaking normally. I'm giving a talk, I'm giving a shir, and in giving a shir one does not speak normally. You know the normal speak. But if you're reading something out to someone, just imagine that you're reading out something from paper to somebody else. Listen to what I'm saying. Let's read here. Ahavas Olam. An everlasting love, you love the house of Israel, your people. Torah and commandments, statutes and laws. That's the normal way to read. I could do it quicker. Everlasting love, you love the house of Israel, your people. Torah and commandments, statutes and laws. Well, that's not reading. I might have just about said each word, but it's hardly reading. And equally, an everlasting love, you loved, sounds silly. You don't read like that either. If you read in a normal way, it's at a normal speed. Fino Stati, that's the correct way to daven. To daven at a speed where you're saying the words correctly, but you're not going fast, and you're not going slowly either. You're doing it normally, and you understand what you're saying. That is the correct way to daven, where one understands and one thinks about what one is saying. May I? It certainly does.
If it takes you long to understand something, like a foreigner speaks English,
right,
you speak very slowly.
Ah, but that's only because you need to. If you don't need to do that.
If you don't understand what you're saying.
Ah, that's why I brought the siddur along. I'm not advertising. I'm just simply saying that any siddur, I use this occasionally when I'm at home. I use a different one in shul. The one I use in shul generally has also got the English in. I advise a siddur like this, which has phrases, Hebrew and English. Now, if we're going to start with Kriya Shema being the most important part of our whole tefillah, Kriya Shema is the most important by every definition, and that rule is 365 days a year. Yom Kippur, the most important thing we do on Yom Kippur in shul is say Kriya Shema. And I'm not talking about Kriya Shema at the end. I'm talking about Kriya Shema in Maariv and Kriya Shema in Shachris. That is the most important thing we do. It's more important than the Al-Khaits. It's more important than the Amidas. All of those are all Drabbanon. Everything about Yom Kippur that we say in shul is Drabbanon, 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 Drabbanon. This is Doraisa. No difference to every other day of the year. So that's how one tries to daven. To say the words, if you have this, Whatever language is your own natural language, if you're naturally at home in English, then use a siddur. And the way to practice is by looking at the English and then saying the Hebrew in that order. Sight read the English, say the Hebrew. Sight read the English, say the Hebrew. And that way you'll get used to it, to understanding what the words mean while you say it. And that is the basic kavono. Kavono is to think about what you are saying. Yes, there's far more to it, but that's where we start. So to say the words while having in mind. Now, I was saying about Ashrei, and I went on to that about talk about the Kriya Shema itself. It's a mitzvah d'oraisa. If a person is davening Shacharis or Maariv and says the Shema correctly, and as a result, he finds, I'm behind, the Chazan is ahead of me, I won't get the Amidah on time, may I tell you with respect, that is a Yetzer Hara. It is not a Yetzer HaTov that you have to daven quickly. This is the most important thing of the whole of davening we do. It is more important than Tefillah B'Tzibur. It's more important than the Shemona Esrei. Saying Shema properly, with proper kavanah, straightforward, understanding what one is saying and meaning it, is the most important part of davening. So therefore, don't worry about the rest. And if Ashrei, you're called Tefillah B'Tzibur by the time you catch up with them, then certainly Shema as well. So if you're davening Shema in the morning or Shema in the evening, obviously it doesn't matter that you're saying the words properly. Do not worry that you cannot start the Amidah together with everyone else. I've been doing this for years now. Maybe I'm used to it. But that's the I don't catch up. Shacharis, I can't remember the last time I davened Shacharis Amidah starting at the same time the Tzibur did. Maariv, it's rare that I start the Amidah with them. Very, very rare, because I just can't do it. I mean, I can joke about it as much as you like. I'm only doing what I'm saying the words. And any place I daven, if I'm saying the words and I'm not saying them slowly, I'm saying them the speed I'm talking to you. And that way, by the time the Amidah starts, I'm not up to the Amidah. I miss out almost every day for the last Baruch Hashem Le'olam. I leave that out, because you can. But nevertheless, by the time I start the Amidah, I've been saying the words properly. I can't start at the same time. It does not matter.
Is that not important?
What? No, that's what I'm saying. Shema is more important.
Well, does then Shema before going to bed, is that so important?
That is is not as important. If you say Shema, the first paragraph, once every evening. Well, at some stage, just say the first paragraph and say it slowly.
Right.
That's okay. Pardon? I'm talking to men. I'm not talking to ladies.
Yeah.
But where's Hashem? Right. So we're saying that's the principle of saying it. Mincha is the only one where I have Shemona Esrei starting at the same time. And that's usually because I've said Ashrei before I came to Shul. If I start Ashrei at the same time they do, then I can't. I'm saying, stop that, I can't read Hebrew. Baruch Hashem, I have experience in reading Hebrew. But ever since I started realizing that you've got to say the words, Ashrei, Yoshevei, Veisecho, Odia, Halelu, Choselo. Say each word and think about it simply. You can't start. I think you've got a million of people who are doing it that way, but I promise you, I don't daven slowly. I don't daven fast, I don't daven slowly, I just say the words normally. Let's get to the words of the Shema. So, having said the general advice of having a siddur with your own natural language and looking at the words phrase by phrase, I think that's better than word by word. The art scroll does a wonderful job with the interlinear. All I can say about it is that most things go in phrases, they don't go in words. If you take something where, let's give you a simple example, Vayomer Moshe. Vayomer Moshe means and Moshe said. But Vayomer means and he said, and Moshe means Moshe. So, and he said Moshe is not the same as and Moshe said. So you're going to teach that to children in school, you teach them the two words together, Vayomer Moshe and Moshe said. Not Vayomer and he said, Moshe, Moshe. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean and he said Moshe. So therefore, to take the phrase in Hebrew, look at the English first, and then say the Hebrew. That's all the simplest. How many people will tell you how many deeper kavanas there are? There are sforim on the subject. But just to understand what the words mean in English. So,
for years and years and years, you know, automatically, the translation has to read the English every time, 25 years.
If you can seriously think about what the words mean while you say it, you're absolutely right.
Okay.
If you can.
You should get nearer and nearer to Shemesh.
Absolutely. I personally can if I need to. I actually prefer to look at the English at the same time. When I haven't got an English one, then I do it as I'm saying the Hebrew. But otherwise, it is actually easier to sight read the English and say the Hebrew phrase.
So you don't
have
the Spanish word?
No. Ashkenaz, yes, yeah. Well, why shouldn't I touch it? It's a very holy sefer. Right, so let me start. I asked Ashkenaz about this. There is no problem with ever of saying the Shem Hashem while I'm teaching, and the fact that it goes on digitally is no problem whatsoever. Right. El Melech Ne'emon. Melech. Stress on the mem. Right? If you see in the Sidurim, you'll see there's a little line called a meseg underneath the vowel under the mem, next to the segol. So it's Melech, not Melech. So El Melech Ne'emon. Shema. Now the word Shema, so maybe I should say the whole pasuk first. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echod. Right, well, you know as well as I do, Shema has got an ayin at the end of it. If you hear of Avraham Gurovitz in Gate said, regularly the ayin is pronounced some kind of NG sound. Now, we Ashkenazim don't generally worry about pronouncing an ayin the way a Sephardi, a good Sephardi will do it. We've obviously lost something. An aleph and ayin, neither of them are silent letters. The only silent letter we have in Hebrew is a hey at the end of a word when it doesn't have a dot in it. And the hey is silent. It does not be pronounced at all, except when there's a dot in it. But the aleph and the ayin are not silent. We Ashkenazim do not have a kabbalah of how to pronounce it, so we pronounce it generally as being silent. And it's certainly close enough. That's why the word lo, lamed vov and lamed aleph are pronounced exactly the same for us. There's no difference between the two. And there's certainly, it's meant to be very close together, but nevertheless, the aleph does have some kind of sound, which I cannot tell you what it is. Now, so you've got the ayin. In general, one makes a point to try and do something there to show it's an ayin rather than a hay. So if you want to do, you see this we got the you know the word Gaza in Eretz Yisrael, the Gaza Strip. Well, in Hebrew, Gaza is Azor with an ayin, right? Sodom and Amorah. The word Amorah has got an ayin at the beginning of it. In the English translations, it's Sodom and Gomorrah. I assure you, it's got nothing to do with the Talmud. So that's the word Amorah has got an ayin. If you look at the translations in English go back to the translations which come from the English Siddurim. We're not talking about art school, we're going 350 years back, when the Sephardim first wrote down some English transliterations of the way they pronounced it in Hebrew. When they got an ayin, lion, la, it's not a g, it's not a n, it's la. It's a guttural sound from the throat. And that is the more correct form of ayin, and they are better than we are. That does not mean that we have to copy them. We don't, but just be aware of the fact there's something more than sometimes what we Ashkenazim are actually doing. The Rav Nosson Adler, the Rebbe of the Chasam Sofer, had either Sephardi or Temoni Yid living with him for 3 years, when he was, I think, in Frankfurt, and to teach him how to say Shema properly. He did not tell his Talmud, the Chasam Sofer, to do the same thing. The Chasam Sofer and all his Chasidim, all the Talmidim from the Chasam, the descendants, all of them. Anybody here in the room who's an Einikon of the Chasam Sofer? Right? You've got no Kabbalah in the family that tells you you've got to do what the Chasam Sofer's Rebbe did. He did not pass it on that it has to be done. But he himself was known to be very careful of how he wants to say the Shema. Right? So pronouncing the ayin in some way, just to be aware there is an ayin, Shema. Alright? Something like that. Yisrael, Adonai, Eloheinu, Adonai, Echod. So, the Shem Hashem, Aleph, as we said, Chatzav Patach, you pronounce the Cholom the way you want to pronounce the Cholom, that is up to you. And at the end, you've got Noi, well, that's a comet's followed by a Yud, which isn't hard. Right? Eloheinu, the E is also, it's not E. It's a chatav segel, eh. And the stress is on the hey. And then the same thing, have the same Hashem, Hashem. And echod. Well, echod, the dalad, if you ask a Sephardi, a good Sephardi who knows, there's a difference between a dalad with a dogish and a dalad without a dogish. A dalad with a dogish is what we do, duh. And a dalad without a dogish is more of a th, a hard th, th, as opposed to a soft th, th. So we said Rus, Ruth. That's a soft one. The is a hard th. And that's more like in Kabbalah that we have, that's a dalad without a doggish. If you go to Wales, you'll find that in Welsh, you have a D and a double D. A D is pronounced duh, and a double D, the. It's interesting, in Welsh they have the double D is the dalad without a doggish, and the D on its single D is a dalad with a doggish. The Welsh, I lived there, I was in Cardiff for a year and a half. Cardiff, C-A-E-R-D-Y-double-D, Caerdydd, dydd, dydd. So you've got, so really, when we're told to lengthen, we are told a halachan shulchan aruch, written down in shulchan aruch, by whom? Written by the mechaber, who was a Sephardi. You have to lengthen the dalad. Let me tell you, Ashkenazim, we can't lengthen a dalad. Echod. It takes a split second. You can't. And if you say duh, echod duh, the Sforim say how wrong that is. It's not duh. You just can't lengthen a duh. It's a dalad with a doggish. Can't be lengthened. But then we are mispronouncing the last letter. Echod. No problem. If you pronounce it the correct Sephardi way as a mm, you can go on as long as you like. And that's what's brought in the Rambam, brought in the Gemara, brought in the Shulchan Aruch, that one should lengthen the Dalad. But you can't if you're an Ashkenazi like we are. And I'm not telling you have to convert to Sephardiism. You don't. But just to be aware, and if you lengthen the O, it's not what you're told to do. So Echo, that's not it either. So it's Echod. All you can do is say it. So you think about what it means, but more than that you can't do. Because you're going to carry on with the Ashkenazi pronunciation, and I'm not criticising. The Ashkenazi pronunciation goes back, Dore Doros, and we're perfectly entitled to use it. Right? When Moshiach comes... I don't know. And on the Sephardim, the best, the Taimonim are the nearest to the correct pronunciation. The Taimonim were in Taimon for 2,500 years undisturbed. They were there from the time of the Churban Bais Rishon, and possibly even before that. The Yidden in Taimon. And there for 2,500 years, they had their own minhagim and nobody disturbed them. They weren't influenced by other people, they weren't conquered by other people, 2,500 years. And that's why the Taimoni is probably the nearest, the most untouched of all the different ways that we would have something. I've said many times, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu had wanted to give us a tape of Matan Torah, it would be wonderful. You know, the tape of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu said the words on Har Sinai, and we'd all be copying. Hashem didn't give us that. Therefore, it's up to us to try and do the best we can. May it's Hashem to be continued.